Hello, everyone, and welcome to English Evening. Today is Monday, and I am John.
This is Dong Ning. 大家好，欢迎来到中国中央人民广播电台经济之声为您带来的英语之夜节目。And today is Monday. Let's have a fresh start. And John, I don't know if you know that when we talk about money management, it's very different from man to women.
Oh, sure. I mean, that kind of makes sense.I mean, I think in a lot of ways, like, kind of the way that we're raised and the way, you know, boys are taught to deal with money and girls are taught to deal with money is quite different.
嗯，那么最近的研究显示呢，男性和女性处理个人财务的方式非常的不一样。男性更容易密切关注自己的开支和投入，那么并及时呢支付账单，但是女性却相反。So according to this study, men and women are very different animals because, you know, for men, they take a very responsibility role in a family. They know how to feed the children, how to take care of the family and take care of the wife. But on the other hand, women is a traditional role. They kind of take care of the children and how to work in the kitchen and take care of all of the family. So from the sex roles, they are very, very different.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, you look at it, I mean, traditionally,you know, men are the ones who go out and, you know, have a job and make the money, whereas traditionally women are the ones that stay at home and take care of the kids and stuff like that. And so the men, you know, are the ones who have to, you know, make sure that the family has enough money, that they're making enough money, but also like how to manage that money because it's their responsibility. And, you know, they've been earning the money and so on and so on. Whereas the women, they just kind of receive it. They don't necessarily think about, you know, how to spend it or how to save it and stuff like that. But I think at the same time, like, it's important to remember that this is something that's very, very cultural, and I think also quite traditional as well. Because I feel like in the States it's actually a little bit different, because, I mean, for American culture, I don't think you can really say that. It's going to be, you'll have some men who are good at handling money and some men who aren't, and you'll have some women who are not very good at handling money and some who are. And so I think in the end, like, it's something very, very cultural and like, based upon, like, maybe a more traditional culture.
那据数据显示呢，有三分之二的男性呢会定期的全额支付信用卡的账单，但这么做的女性呢只占三分之一，而且有90%的男性称他们每个月会及时的支付账单，但只有74%的女性会这样做。From my point of view, I think for women, they I like spending money for clothes, for shoes, for purse, anything else. But, you know, sometimes when they, you know, use the credit cards, they don't think much about how much money they spend. They take care of they will think how much things that I want to have. So when they pay the bill of the credit cards, they think, wow, this is a lot of money.
Well, that's true whenever someone uses a credit card, I think, because, like, you're not, like, you're just swiping this card. You're not actually, you know, taking money out of your wallet to give to someone. So you're like, it's not, the money you're spending isn't tangible, and you can't really see, like, oh, wait a second, I had 500 kwai in my pocket, now I only have 10. And so, credit cards in general are a bit of a problem. So, like, you know, because, again, you don't really see how much you're spending. Which can actually be a little bit dangerous, I think.
And also according to this poll, you know, for 73% of men, they know stock, they know fund more or less. But women, you know, they only 24%.
Yeah. I mean, like, again, I think a lot of that has to do with, like, gender roles. You know, like, men are expected to be a little bit more scientific, perhaps, and, like, do research. And also, in the end, like, in some ways, traditionally speaking, again, like, the economy and, like, the stock market is more of, like, the men's world in some ways, whereas women traditionally have kind of been kept out of that. And I think in a lot of ways this is really starting to change, especially in China. You know, you can definitely see how women are beginning to work a lot more, and because of that, like, they're learning how to manage their money a lot better, as well as, you know, starting to invest as well, because this is becoming important for everyone. It's not only men who are going out and working, but also women who are working and who have to make sure to manage their money.
So that's why, you know, we let you to introduce the financial world to the audience. Yeah, not
sure.
me.
Sure.
Okay, and here's another topic. Like, you know, in China, and also not only in China, but all over the world, 45 years old is a cutoff point for success.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of those things. A lot of this has to do with the obsession with youth, I think. It's the whole idea that, you know, if you're young, you're going to be more successful. Mm-hmm. And so, like in the States, there's the idea where, like, if you're not successful before 35, you probably never will be. Like, if you're going to be successful, it's going to happen when you're young.
Mm-hmm. 那在职业生涯当中呢，会有一种现象，就是到人到45岁的时候呢，就会成为事业的分水岭。 Like middle age is prime time when people's physical and mental abilities are at their peak. However, a fair number of people in China regard the age of 45 as a critical point, beyond which if you haven't been promoted to middle management, you might as well accept that your career is over.
Right, exactly. And maybe not your career is over, but definitely like your career progression is kind of over. And so in a lot of ways this has to do with just like people's perception. Number one, you have some government rules that kind of say, well, we need to promote young people. But also, you know, it's the idea where, like, you know, young people usually tend to have a lot more passion and tend to have some more energy than the middle-aged people, and so it's they're a little bit more attractive when it comes to hiring.
Yeah, but you know, for some people, they think people between 45 and 60 have thus become, you know, this kind of group because they might be capable and experienced.
Sure.
Yeah, but they don't feel excluded from promotion, so sometimes feel awkward or
it's
weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and it's one of those things. I mean, like, in the end, I think it makes sense to have, like, an older manager, especially, like, the head of a department or something like that. I mean, because they're going to have more experience and they've been doing this thing for a long time and they know you know how to solve certain kinds of problems and, like, you know, rules and regulations and all sorts of stuff. But at the same time, like, I think younger people are a little bit more attractive sometimes again because they have a lot more energy, and so it's the idea where, like, maybe if you're younger, that means you can probably, it's going to be easier for you to work longer hours maybe, whereas as you get into your middle ages, like, maybe in the end you don't have as much energy as you used to.
So this is a phenomenon in China. How's that in America?
In America we have a very similar idea, but it is changing a little bit because especially like my generation, you know, like in a lot of ways we don't start our careers until we're about, you know, 30-35. Instead, like, you know, we graduate from university at 21, kind of do other stuff, maybe go back to school, maybe you know, teach English or something like that, and then we kind of settle down and with a career. And so in the end, like, at the same time, there is this idea that, again, if you're not successful before, you know, 30-35, you're not going to be. Which I think needs to change, you know, because it's just really not true anymore. For some fields, it is going to be true, like, you know, mathematics and science and stuff like that. You know, like, if you haven't made an important discovery by the time you're such and such an age, you probably won't. But at the same time, for other fields and other careers, this isn't necessarily true. And, like, you see a lot of people who will switch industries or switch jobs and then just be just as successful as they could have been when they were younger.
Well, this topic is from the newspaper Global Times. Yeah, I think it's a very interesting topic. So
sure.
Well, speaking of business success, you know, for now, the world is still under recession, but anyhow, the economy has, you know, a boost a little bit. But according to a study, in the recession, corroding Americans' health in addition to their incomes. You know, sometimes people would say the recession has affected your financial way of earning money, but also they could also affect your health.
Oh, sure. And so what happened was these some health economists at Yale University, they did a study focusing on workers over 50 who had been laid off in recent decades. And the thing is, like, for people over 50, overeating and over drinking, it can actually be quite dangerous to the health. I mean, when you're young, in a lot of ways, you can kind of get away with it because your body can, you know, deal with this stuff a lot easier. But as you get older, of course, you know, things just kind of slow down. And so what they wanted to see was what happens when a food lover gets laid off, like, and they start to eat more and drink more, and how does this affect their health?
那世界经济呢，现在已经有复苏的迹象，但是根据研究显示呢，在之前的经济衰退里面呢，人们的健康会受到影响，失去工作会让胖人更胖，让饮酒者成为醉鬼，那暴饮暴食呢，更可能产生严重的健康后果。So it's very a serious problem. Problems, you know, sometimes we think the recession has caused many bad effects on many ways.
Sure.
But they don't pay much attention about your health. And I think it's through these 2 years maybe, and some health problems have come up.
And it's actually really interesting because, like, traditional wisdom would say, well, you know, if people are under stress, then they will become less healthy. But at the same time, like, from, you know, research in the past, this is shown to be not necessarily true for humans. Like, in animals, it shows that overeating and excessive drinking because of stress actually increases. However, according to economic studies, this is shown not to be quite true for people. Like, a lot of people, you know, respond to stress in many different ways. And so some people are going to choose to overeat and overdrink, whereas some people will actually become healthier, right, because they have more time to spend exercising, and also just because of budget constraints, they don't have enough money to spend on, you know, junk food and beer and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's really, really interesting to see this kind of stuff because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, the financial crisis and, you know, there's all this impact and, like, doom and gloom. But at the same time, I mean, to me, this kind of shows, like, how it's more about how you respond to things than it is about the actual thing. And so, like, if you take a responsible response to something, then, of course, it won't be that bad.
Okay, for now, let's move on to this news. 接下来呢，我们来听听财经资讯。China to stick to proactive fiscal policy in second half. 中国下半年将继续采取积极的财政政策。
The Chinese government has made clear recently that it will continue its proactive fiscal policy in the second half of this year to maintain its economic growth as government leaders reiterated the stance, for there are still uncertainties ahead. Finance Minister Xie Xuren told local financial bureaus at a conference in Beijing recently that the proactive policies, which included increased investment from the government, tax cuts and subsidies to low-income families, had taken effect in stimulating the recovery of the national economy. The Chinese economy expanded 7.9% from a year ago in the second quarter of this year, driven by a surge of fixed asset investment backed by government fiscal policies. The economic growth rate accelerated from the 6.1% in the first quarter of this year and the 6.8% in the fourth quarter of last year.
Okay, that was today's business news. For now, let's move on to Studio Classroom.
Hi, friends. Thanks for taking time to study English with us here at Studio Classroom Worldwide. My name is Steve. Well, when we talk about fashion, we often mention pants or shoes or hairstyles. But all that's going to change because in today's lesson, we at Studio Classroom are going to talk about the humble sock. More specifically, we'll be discussing the Japanese tabi or split-toe socks. Our first key word of the day is the adverb gracefully. The ballet dancer moved gracefully across the stage. Next is the adjective heavy-duty, as in, you can't cut that wire with small scissors. You'll need a heavy-duty pair to do the job. Okay, this traditional Japanese footwear called tabi is finding new fans around the world. Let's find out why, starting on page 52. Please join us now as we read.
Japanese socks. Traditional Japanese footwear finds fans around the world. Geisha, traditional Japanese entertainers skilled in music and dancing, move gracefully in platform flip-flops. But how do these ladies protect their feet, especially during cold Japanese winters? The answer is tabi, traditional white split-toe socks that can be worn with flip-flops. Geisha, however, aren't the only ones who wear them. Japanese workers have worn heavy-duty tabi for generations. But now, this age-old footwear is gathering all kinds of fans. Modern tabi come in a variety of cool colors, patterns, and materials.
Hi, friends. I'm Chip.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Esther, and we have a very special fashion article for you today. We're talking about Japanese socks. In fact, traditional Japanese footwear finds fans around the world. We're going to find out what these traditional socks are and why they are gaining popularity around the world.
Our article starts off by saying geisha, and these are traditional Japanese entertainers, who are skilled in music and dancing, they move gracefully. And there we see our first word bank word. What does it mean when someone moves gracefully?
Well, it means they move with grace. And that just means it's kind of like you're not clumsy. If you're very graceful, then it's actually quite beautiful to watch you move. And we know that geisha are trained to move gracefully, and it's quite beautiful in the way that they move and they dance, and they even do small, simple tasks in a graceful way.
So they move gently or gracefully in platform flip-flops. And flip-flops are special sandals that are where your feet are held at the toe.
And actually, usually when I wear my flip-flops outside and I walk, if I walk very far or very quickly, they make a sound that sounds something like flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. Actually.
Yes, you're exactly right. A few years ago in the U.S., I know flip-flops were incredibly popular. They've lost a little bit of their popularity, but kids were wearing them and buying them in all different colors because traditional flip-flops are just really comfortable shoes. However, platform flip-flops are quite a bit different. And you can see a picture of a geisha on page 52 wearing some platform flip-flops. And Esther, what does it mean if they have a platform on them?
Well, when they are standing on a platform, they are standing on a piece of wood or something that makes them a lot taller, as you can see in our picture on page 52. But you can't be wearing these platform flip-flops all year round. I mean, it gets really cold in Japan, right? It snows. So how do these ladies protect their feet, especially during cold Japanese winters?
Well, fortunately for these geisha, they have traditional Japanese socks called tabi. Now, these tabi are actually not your typical socks, as you might imagine. So they are split-toed socks where you have space for your big toe, and it's in a separate section from the rest of your toes. So they're split-toe socks.
And these split-toe socks can be worn with flip-flops. So, of course, the Japanese are very clever. They want to make sure that their geisha don't have cold feet, so they developed these special socks to be worn with flip-flops. However, geisha aren't the only ones who wear them. Now, I think people are starting to wear them and they're getting more popular, but we learned that Japanese workers have worn heavy-duty tabi for generations. Esther, what does it mean if something is heavy-duty?
Well, heavy-duty has a couple different meanings. Here it means very serious, or it means providing a lot of power or support. So they have been wearing these tabis for many generations, for tens and maybe even hundreds of years. But our text says now this age-old footwear is gaining all kinds of fans. So people, not just in Japan, but people around the world are becoming interested in wearing tabis.
And actually, it is kind of interesting to me that you have both geisha and heavy-duty Japanese workers, Japanese workers who are doing some real heavy-duty work, both are wearing these split-toe socks, these tabis.
Probably the only difference is the style, right? Maybe the geisha wear beautiful ones and the workers don't really care as long as they keep their feet warm. But either way, these are quite popular. And nowadays, modern tabi come in a variety of cool colors, patterns, and materials. You can see some pictures in your magazine.
Welcome back from the break, friends. We are talking about socks. Well, they've been around for a long time, but they just now seem to be finding fans around the world. Yes, we're talking about Japanese tabi socks. To be exact, they're the split-toed socks that come in all kinds of cool colors, patterns, and materials. They come in different styles, too, and we'll learn about those after we glance at two more key words. The first is the word trendy, as in, that trendy coffee shop offers live music on Friday nights. And the noun circulation. Regular exercise helps promote good circulation. Now, let's learn about some of tabi's different styles. We'll resume the reading on line 2 of page 53.
Japanese socks. There are different styles, too, including the five-fingered sock that fits the toes like a glove. Both Japanese shops and online stores sell these trendy socks. Not just for fashion. For the Japanese, feet are important and should be treated with care. Many Japanese, including shiatsu experts, claim that separating the big toe from the second toe increases circulation. Plus, they believe tabi ease pressure caused by walking on sidewalks and standing on trains. So whether you're looking for fashion, health, or comfort, buy a pair of tabi.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking about Japanese socks, and we've talked so far about two different kinds, the more traditional tabi socks, which here you have two sections for your toes, and now we're talking about the more modern types of tabis, which have five little sections for your five toes.
Our text says there are different styles, too, including the five-fingered socks, which Chip just showed us. And it's interesting here, even though you wear on your feet, we still use this five-finger to describe this kind of sock. So these socks fit your toe like a glove. So they fit your toes and they fit your feet just like how a glove fits your hand.
Actually, Esther, that's a common idiom we use. If something fits like a glove, then it means it fits you perfectly. Here, just happens to be that they do look like gloves and they fit your feet kind of like gloves, but you can use that when talking about other things as well. Like you buy a new dress and it fits you like a glove, then it fits you perfectly. It fits you just like it was made just for you.
This actually doesn't really fit me like a very good glove, to be honest, but this is pretty cool. I think I do kind of want a pair of these. But anyway, both Japanese shops and online stores sell these trendy socks. Now, that word trendy is an important word for a fashion article to use. What does trendy mean? What does it mean when something's trendy, Esther?
Well, if something is trendy, it means it is in style, it is in fashion. And if you're someone who likes to wear trendy clothes, then you are fashionable. You like to wear the latest fashions.
this point, we've been looking at these tabi as kind of trendy and fashionable, and there's all sorts of colors and styles. But our next section tells us that they're not just for fashion. I think probably the workers who wear the heavy-duty socks, they don't care about fashion. Baseball players don't care about fashion. They wear them for a different reason. And Chip, we know that the Japanese really pay close attention to their feet, don't they?
That's right, that's right. They understand how important their feet are. I mean, you're standing on them all day, you're walking on them all day. You need to take good care of your feet. So the Japanese seem to understand that, and many Japanese, including shiatsu experts, claim that separating the big toe from the second toe increases circulation.
So first, let's talk about this word shiatsu. This is a form of Japanese massage, and it uses acupressure, or pressing different parts of your body, pressing it at a specific point, so it helps improve your circulation or how your blood flows in your body.
That's right. Circulation just refers to the movement of blood through your vessels. And we know that many people, not just the Japanese, feel that you can cure minor health problems simply by pressing the right parts on your feet or doing some sort of acupressure or massage. So they think that actually when you separate the big toe from the second toe, you're better off. You will have increased circulation.
And plus, Japanese believe that tabi ease pressure, or they allow for more circulation, and they release some of that pressure that's caused by walking on sidewalks and standing on trains.
Right, and this is because Japanese do a lot of walking. Many live in large cities where it's very crowded and not very many people drive. And often, sometimes people spend a long time commuting and standing on trains, so they think it will help ease or get rid of some of the pressure that people feel in their feet when they are walking or standing for a long period of time.
This is very interesting. I've never worn these kinds of socks before, but maybe I'll give them a try simply if they'll help my circulation and make my feet feel better. So, friends, whether you're looking for fashion, health, or comfort, buy a pair of tabi. Chip, do we have you convinced? Are you going to start wearing tabi?
Man, I don't know if I would wear these with my flip-flops. I could, but, you know, I think I'll probably, if I get a pair, I think I'll just wear them with shoes.
Well, Chip, I hope you buy a fashionable pair when you get some. Well, friends, we hope you've enjoyed today's lesson as much as we have.
Well, friends, are you a fan of Japanese socks? Tabi socks are fashionable, healthy, and most importantly, they're comfortable. So if you don't own any, treat yourself to a pair and feel the difference. Tomorrow, in our How Stuff Works feature, we'll look at the unfriendly but very, very fascinating shark. Don't miss it. Until then, all of us here at Studio Classroom hope that you have a great day. Bye-bye, everybody.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供，也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
Okay, and that was Studio Classroom, which means that we are once again at the end of this Monday edition of English Evening. But as always, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you soon.
感谢您收听今晚的英语之夜节目 See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
北京时间22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
Coffee 经济学，
欢迎来到 Coffee 经济学。今日茶点：杠杆企业 （Leverage Organization）。在物理学当中，杠杆能用很小的力量撬动很重的物体；在经济学当中，负债就是企业的杠杆。
资本结构当中有负债的企业被称作杠杆企业，但负债经营是一把双刃剑，既能使企业迅速筹集资金，降低经营成本，减少税负支出，也有可能使企业陷入到债务危机。
瑞士天梭表为您报时，传承经典工艺。